Thank you, Father Craig. It's great to be with you again this evening in this trinity of presentations and reflections on our spiritual life and how living hope the Lord intends and desires for living hope to be within us and to be resident within us, to be filling us. Abounding hope is what Romans says. And in that living hope, each night we've reflected on an obstacle to living hope and then the remedy or the answer, how to restore living hope through the Holy Spirit. So our first night, as Father mentioned, was maybe the I'm just list, the things that I'm just, that I use to kind of bench myself with that maybe present some obstacles to the Spirit's present and living hope residing within me. And the answer to that is the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. And inviting the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, to restore that life within the soul so that living hope is within you again. And then the second night, we reflected on the timeline of life, that there are the highs and lows of everyone's life, everyone's journey. And the Spirit kind of accompanies us, the Lord accompanies us, the Father accompanies us through our timeline of life. But we sometimes forget that he's right there, the Good Shepherd is right there walking alongside of us. And so we invited the Holy Spirit as guide and advisor. Another title of the Holy Spirit is guide and advisor into the timeline that's there. And I heard so many stories after the presentation about how you saw connections between your timeline and events in your life, highs and lows, and movements of the Holy Spirit, where maybe you cried out to the Holy Spirit for help or for strength. I know there was one couple that mentioned God winks, that there were winks from God that they talk about in family life. And they had gone on a trip and had made a reservation and got swindled. And then in the process of that, got a better deal because they went downtown. And the manager of the Hilton Hotel not only offered them a room, I hope it's okay if I tell this story, but the best room, the top floor of the hotel. And there was a God wink in there. There was the movement of the Lord making them feel known and loved and cared for. And that's an instilling of the, or an infusion of the Holy Spirit in their journey, in their story. Beautiful story of trusting in God's providence. Tonight, we're going to look at an obstacle to living hope, which are voices that steal hope. What are voices that steal hope? I'll give you an example. Today, I was texting a friend from Sioux Falls, and he was asking how I'd had a little procedure to remove some precancer, and it happened to be in a mole on my face next to my left eye, between my left eye and ear. And so I was at Mayo and had the procedure done, and he's like, hey, send me a picture. And I was kind of, you know, you're self-conscious about it because you're healing up and there's stitches and things like that. And you're just kind of, you know, I was like, I'm not going to send you a picture. And so then today he called and he says, hey, you didn't send me a picture. And so I kind of hesitantly sent a picture and he's like, hey, that builds character. So the voice that was in my head was self-conscious. Right? It was kind of resentful, like, why did I have to go through this? It was cautious. Those were the voices in my head. But the voice that I heard from my friend was, just adds character, which bolsters my confidence, which made me feel better about the situation, which made me feel encouraged from him. It was my God wink, my God moment from the day. And so, I want us to reflect on the qualities of a voice that steals hope. And that'll be the first kind of little assignment on your page, maybe anywhere on your page, but a little list of things, qualities of the voice that steals hope. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the voice of darkness comes from three sources theologically. A fallen angel, meaning the devil, so an angel who fell from grace, rejected God, Lucifer is his name. A fallen world, in other words, the circumstances and conditions of the world that we live in, our neighbors, but also just the natural world as well, is fractured because of the fall. So fallen world, number two. Number three, a fallen self, I'm fallen. I'm a fallen creature. I'm a creature. I'm a son or daughter of the living God, but I'm living in a fallen state due to the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the story that's told in Genesis that fractured the whole project. And so I'm fractured because I'm a descendant of them. We're all fractured as sons and daughters of them. So those are the sources, but what are the qualities of a voice that steals your hope? It may be a voice from yourself, your own thoughts, a voice from neighbors or friends or family, people around you in community, even the voice of history, we might say. It might be a spiritual voice that's leaning in on you. But what are the qualities of that? And I'm going to kick us off. Why don't you just write down one or two words that describe that, and we'll kind of popcorn it, and I've got some words to add to it as well. Okay, qualities of a voice that steals hope. So I would kind of venture out there and throw out the word, it's a voice that's condemning. A voice that's condemning would be a voice that steals hope. And if any of these words that I or anyone else shares tonight jump out at you, pay attention to the fact that your heart skipped on that one and write it down, because it may be that that makes sense to you. It resonates with you for a reason. Maybe that's how he goes after you. All right, another one would be it's judgmental. So it's harsh in judgment and tone. So condemning and harsh in judgment and tone. It's a voice that attempts to shame us. So it's a shaming voice, shaming tone, shaming type of phrase. And I'll add another one for us to get us going here. It's generally, it will put us down. It's a put down kind of phrase or word choice. It's a specific kind of word that somehow it's the right word for you. It's your trigger word. And it nails it. It puts you down. So it's spoken to somebody else, it might not make sense to them. Spoken to you, all of a sudden, it really goes, it gets past your guard and right into your heart and then just settles in kind of like a cold hammer and makes home there. It inspires a lack of confidence in yourself. That would be another quality of a voice that steals hope, is it steals your confidence. So what do we have to have when we're blindfolded? If you were here last night and you saw that football player blindfolded going forward, he had hope in what he could not see. That's one of the descriptions St. Paul uses in Scripture. His hope is acting in faith in something you do not yet see. And so to steal confidence would mean we slow down in the faith that we're called to. Other words that are out there. We'll start over here, just popcorn it. If you've got a good word, yell it out and we'll add it to the list. Anybody over here have a word to add? Pessimistic, excellent word. Good choice. It's pessimistic, it calibrates, it gets you just to hold back just enough. Not all the way, but just, it makes you go half-hearted, right? Pessimism makes us go half-hearted. Like it still might work, but I'm not confident enough to get it to work. Great word. Another word. Despair, that's a result, isn't it? To cause us to give up and say it's hopeless. It's a hopeless situation. That's the definition of despair. And so it steals our hope. Despair steals hope. What else? One more from this side. Anxious or fearful, excellent words. I'm going to add those two, yeah, to my own list here. Okay, over here, side two. Negativity. So a negative voice is not an encouraging voice. A negative voice is like cold water on the project. And what do we say to ourselves even when we have that negative voice? Well, I'm just going to play the devil's advocate, right? I'm just going to be the devil's advocate in this one. And then we give voice to the negative voice, which there may be facts and figures and reasons and a basis for it, but even those facts, figures, and the basis can be presented in a way that's not negative. So when it takes on a life that's negative, there's an intent behind it that may be from us, it may be from the world, it may be from the evil one. But the Lord is going to be cautious in his voice, but he's not going to be condemning or kind of trying to pour cold water on your good intentions. And so that's where we need to be careful with the negative voice. Good word. Any other words over here in side two? Discouraging. Exactly right. Yeah, so there's an emotional quality to being discouraged, isn't there? The discouraging voice. Excellent. Over here, somebody else had a word. Distrusting, right? Don't listen to this. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to that voice. You made that call before, right? So distrusting, excellent quality there. Any other words that someone would like to share? That's painful. The disappointing voice, right? That just shuts us down because we trusted someone or we trusted our experience or we trusted something and then I'm disappointed, and that can kind of be painful. Because who wants to disappoint someone? Goodwill people of goodwill don't want to disappoint anyone. And so it can be difficult there. Okay, so now that we've popcorned that, and you've kind of got some of those words, think about those words. I'm going to reflect them back to you. And if any of them jump out at you, then just make a note of it. It's maybe the Lord working in that experience of your life tonight and calling your attention to it, maybe for some healing in there. Now, on the one hand, you may be the recipient. On the other hand, as a fractured person, as a broken person, we're all broken. I know I've been responsible for every one of those in someone else's life. And so I know I've been the cause of that in someone else's life, to instill distrust as opposed to trust or so forth. The list goes on. Lack of confidence as opposed to confidence. And that has to do with my own brokenness, doesn't it? And so, you know, there may be one or another reason for the word to pop out at you, but here we go. It speaks despair, it condemns, there's judgment, there's shame, it's a put down, a lack of confidence, anxiousness, despair, fearfulness, negativity, negative, distrusting, disappointing. These are all kinds of voices that rob the soul of hope. And so St. Ignatius, and Father Craig has background in this through some of his training, would caution us against a couple things. One, be aware of the quality of the voice that's speaking to you in a given moment of your day. So draw attention to what's the quality of this voice. And if it's one of these, then the next step is to begin discerning where it's from. And most commonly, it's going to be from a fallen source. So a fallen self, a fallen angel, or a fallen world. And then to caution yourself against acting and making important decisions based on that voice. So this would be part of what Ignatius calls the discernment of spirits. Is you're discerning the source of the voice, the quality and nature of the voice, and then avoiding making important decisions based on a bad voice. So you want to put a pause on the... And when I get into any one of these tracks myself, I'm like, I'm in the track. I recognize it's not from God. I'm in the track. I'm not going to make any decisions for at least 12 hours. And it's a mental process that I kind of go for. Is that, Father Craig, does that sound right based on your training? Okay. So you want to put a pause on it and wait for that voice to kind of clear the air before you move forward. All right, now we're going to go to a contrasting voice, a voice that instills or restores living hope into the soul. A voice that instills or infuses, another word would be infusion, of living hope into the soul. So a voice that is full of living hope would be what we would imagine a good coach or a good teacher, a good mentor, good parenting would work on doing. It names potential. It names potential. I see this ability in you. I see a potential in this situation. I see a hopeful situation that could unfold here. I see an opportunity here. It looks at gains. What could be gained from this? What could move this project forward? Where could this grow or expand? It focuses on opportunities. So maybe this won't work out, but if we modify it just this way, maybe it'll work out this way. It expresses confidence in the person or in the situation. So it moves, it speaks from a place of confidence. I'm a big fan of Lou Holtz and an even bigger fan of some of the earlier coaches at Notre Dame. And so I like reading recruitment letters from them. They're online. You can just Google Notre Dame football recruitment letters, and they're for sale online sometimes. And so you just read those, and in five sentences, a coach does a masterful job of saying, hey, Father McGillicuddy has told me about you, as he's writing some kid in rural America. Father McGillicuddy's told me that you're a pretty good football player. I'll be in town next week. You know, I'd like to see your play. I think you could add something as a running back to the team. And so what has he just done? He's named, right, and bridged to this young man, to this player. And then he's named what that player could bring to the team, and he's expressed a desire to meet with that individual, with that high school player, a college coach. He hasn't said, maybe, you know, you could come and meet with me. No, what he says is, I'll be in town, and I'd like to meet with you. He's honoring the potential of that athlete. Honoring the potential of that athlete. Okay, let's popcorn this. Qualities of a voice that instills hope. Affirming, excellent word. Another word. Trusting. When you trust someone, it instills even greater sense of responsibility and ownership. When you affirm someone, it instills an even greater sense of like energy. You've just put in juice in the battery, and they're going to do more for you and for the situation. They're going to bring more to the table because of the trust you've extended to them or affirmed them in. Other words, enabling. Oh, that's a great word. I love that word. So you're saying, I trust you, I affirm you, and I'm going to give you the tools to do it. I'm going to enable you to do it. I'm going to give you the permissions. I'm going to give you the resources. Tell me what you need, and we'll go for it. Amazing. Awesome. Another word, affirming voice, the voice that instills living hope. Empowering. So here's the project. Let's discuss how it's going to come about. As a group, as a team, I'm going to empower you to have some input, which is shared ownership then, is what empowerment does. It's shared ownership in the project, and what that does is it brings about buy-in, and then buy-in moves things forward. Excellent. Over here, this side. Encouragement. All right, so what is encouragement? The word means to instill courage. In other words, you've got the fire. I believe in you. I'm going to encourage you, and the fire that I see in you, go for it. What is a coach doing throughout a game, any game, is encouraging the team, getting the team to refocus. One more word from over here. Compassionate. Beautiful word, deep word. That voice is compassionate. In other words, has taken the time to understand your situation. And in understanding your situation is bridging you to the goal or to the objective or to the need in a way that understands you but tells you you can do it. That compassion that comes across when someone's in leadership or when someone is a peer, is a listening ear or is offering that compassion, that kind of understanding, again, puts puts energy in the battery. Beautiful word. So we've popcorned voice, the qualities of the voice that instill or inject or infuse living hope. I'm going to read these back to you, and if any of them jump out at you, write them down again. Just make a note just for yourself, because we're going to bring this to prayer a little bit later in our hour, because the Spirit is moving through that word in some way for you to heal you, restore you, infuse living hope in you, lift a burden from you, all of those things. So a voice of living hope names potential, looks at the gains, focuses on opportunity, is confident in the person or situation, is affirming, expresses trust, is enabling, empowering, offers encouragement, expresses compassion. I would add to those that the word, there's the word, and then there's the action, and then there's the tone that goes into a word, isn't it? There can be a tone of compassion, right? Or a tone, so like also paying attention to the tone of the words helps us discern, where does this voice come from? So this voice would typically be, all of these things would be descriptors of the voice of God. So when this voice occurs in your mind as you're driving down the road, as this voice occurs in your mind as you're making dinner, as this voice occurs in your thoughts when you're on the phone, then you're thinking, well, that's kind of interesting that I've got this nudge to do something and it was a compassionate tone. Well, then pay attention to that. Open that up. Say, Lord, guide me here. Open this up for me. Help me pursue this. Help me to be open. Help me to understand it more. Invite the Holy Spirit to begin expanding on what's going on there. And it'll often be the voice of the Lord blessing you. So we're going to take just a second here and step back and think. We've brainstormed voices that steal hope, steal living hope, and we've brainstormed the voices that offer living hope, instill living hope. Do you think that Jesus had experiences of both of these in his life? Yes, I see heads nodding, yes. But the Lord, Jesus himself, the Son of God, Savior of the world, had experiences of voices in his life that were intent on stealing hope from him. At the very beginning, when he's born in Bethlehem, the word goes out to the world, right, that a Savior has been born. Magi arrive from the east. Who do they come and visit? Herod. And in that gospel account, then there's five kings. We hear the song of the three kings, and then there's King Herod, the king of Judea. The three kings go and visit him because what do royalty do when they visit another kingdom? They pay respects. So they go in to pay their respects to Herod. He hears about the fifth king born in a manger in Bethlehem. He sends them ahead with word from him to come back and tell him what they found. His words are full of malicious intent. He is intent on killing that king as a future competitor to his throne. That's his intent. So his words are not words of blessing. His message is not a message of blessing. His intent in sending them on mission is not to bless this fifth king. It's to steal his life, to steal living hope from the world by killing Jesus. And when they escape by another way, right, they don't fall for that deception. They discern that it's a false voice. It's a bad voice, a negative and dark voice. They don't go back. They go back by another way. They've discerned that in their life to reject that voice, the voice of Herod. And then they move forward by another path. That's good discernment for each of us when we hear that dark voice in our minds and in our hearts. When we get those toxic thoughts that creep in, to reject them and go another way. That's good discernment. And then what happens is Jesus' life is spared, but then Herod is, that's the point where he launches his attack on all the two-year-old males in the area, in the vicinity, and there's the massacre of the innocents. So there's literally a bloodbath as more living hope is stolen from the world in these young lives. That would be a case in the life of Jesus where there was a voice of that was toxic. But then I'm going to throw a couple other scriptures at you that give examples of what the Lord was up against during his public ministry. In Matthew 22, verse 15, there was this question about paying taxes. So I'll repeat that. Matthew 22, 15, if you want scriptural examples of the voices that stole living hope or attempted to from the Lord. Then the Pharisees, it says, went and took counsel on how to entangle him in his talk. They were intent on tripping him up, not living hope. That was Matthew 22, 15. The next one, Matthew 22, 35. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So full weight of the law, intent on tripping him up and entangling him in a test, all right? Not living hope. Again, the Lord experiences this in Matthew 22 or 21, verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching. So in the middle of class, think of this. In the middle of class, the high priests, the chief priests, and the elders of the people, senior members of the community, as he's teaching, interrupt and say, "By what authority are you doing these things?" So questioning the very ground of where Jesus is teaching from, challenging that in public. So if you're going to correct someone, what do they say? You do it in private. So, Bishop Zelensky was talking about that at one of our priest gatherings. He said, in the military, you praise in public and correct in private. It's kind of a rule for officers in the military. Praise in public, correct in private. Well, here they correct in public. And we're all tempted to do that. And we've maybe all done that. I know I've done that. But it creates a wound. It steals living hope from the soul of whoever's being challenged. And if it's bad enough, that may be our intent to do that, and that's not good. Matthew 13:55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? We know this guy. Who is he to stand up here and talk? He's from back home. He's from Nazareth. We know what he was up to. He was in the carpenter shop when he was 10 years old. Who does he think he is? He has a job just like the rest of us. He, drank from the same water well that all of us drank from. And what's that phrase? Familiarity breeds contempt. And so their familiarity with the Savior allowed them in a bitter spirit to have contempt for the Savior. So these were voices in the Lord's life. And then there's kind of this, maybe the worst one that I could find, at least in my search of scripture, which is from Luke 4, verse 28. Luke 4, verse 28, this dark voice. When they heard all this, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, filled with hatred, filled with spite. Think of your most wrathful moment in your life, in your heart, or your most spiteful moment in your life, in your heart, or where you've seen that rage just in the face of someone else that you were just like, holy cow, they are really upset with me right now. We've all had those kind of heart-stopping moments. So they're filled with wrath, and they rose up and put him out of the city. So he gets walked out of town, led to the brow of a hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him headlong over the cliff. So they are intent, not just, they're so upset, they not only have decided they don't like him and that their hearts are closed to him, but they're ready to walk him not just out of town. That's an insult in itself. Outside the city gates would mean that you've been, it's like you know, the being thrown out of a bar or something. You're just pitched out onto the street, right, by a bouncer. Well, they're going further than bouncing the guy. They want to throw him off a cliff and murder him. That's how bad it was in our Lord's life. So think of maybe some of the darker moments in your experience. In your life, what are some of those moments and those voices in your history that stand out to you? They're painful to look at. They make us uncomfortable. But I invite you to take your pen and just write that down. I'll give you an example of something that stuck with me all the way into my adult life. Is I had an educator tell me, "You're not college material." That stuck with me for so long, and I believed it for so long, and I fought it for so long, even as I went through undergrad and then the master's program and then seminary program, master's of divinity program. I'm not college material. And there's all kinds of levels of reaction to that. Yes, I am, and I'm trying to overachieve and overexcel and overprove and over, right, push myself beyond what even is healthy in order to validate myself. Or I'm shutting down and saying I give up and going the other direction as that voice kicks in and says, just give up. It's not you. It's not who you are. Just quit right now. You're halfway through, but it's hard. You don't like writing papers, right? So is this voice of darkness? That was a voice that stuck with me into my adult life. Had to get some healing from that. So who? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a voice. Maybe it's a lie that you've bought. Think of your top three voices. And just make a note for yourself. Not for anyone else. Just a note for yourself as a word or just as a memory tool of what that voice is, because that's the prison that you might be in. Maybe you've gotten past it. Maybe not. But tonight is a night maybe to name it in your mind if you're not interested in writing it down, and then bringing it into prayer here in a few minutes.